What's going on, Badger fans? We're going to talk about what second or third year guys who haven't really broken out are going to become stars on this year's Badger team. Let's talk about it. Let's go on Wisconsin.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, Badger fans? Welcome to Locked On Badgers, your team every single day. I'm your host, Ryan Herrings, as always, and I, again, am incredibly appreciative for everybody giving us, allowing us into your homes, into your car, wherever you're listening to this, wherever you're watching it. Thank you so, so much for that opportunity. It is incredibly appreciated. All right, great show today. We're going to bring on the man. We're going to bring on Justin, as we often do, as we often like to do. We still haven't found like a good intro for you. John Berger has given us a ton of good stuff, though. I don't know if you've seen any of it.
I've been noticing.
So yes. We have options. We got to get something in there. But today's show, we wanted to do kind of a fun topic and talk about I was thinking about it because we do a ton of recruiting stuff, which I love, by the way. People like it. I enjoy it. We're going to do a ton more recruiting. Mm-hmm. But fans kind of forget about those second and third year guys who haven't broken out yet. And it's often those players, not the recruits we spend so much talking about. It's often those players that make or break the team. So I wanted to talk about some of the guys that haven't broken out yet, maybe haven't played a lot, who we think could have an expanded role on this year's team. I'll just start because I know we have one that in common for sure. Mm-hmm. That's tight end Jack Pugh. I had a really good spring. If people go back, if you look at the recruitment of Jack Pugh, you're talking about a composite four-star tight end.
Yep.
The number 10 tight end in the country. He was a huge recruiting get, and he's just had some struggles being healthy.
From Penn State.
Yeah, offer, and he also visited Alabama late. I don't know if he had an offer there, but like this is a legitimate borderline blue chip tight end who has good size, showed out really well in the spring game. Alan True, who is a 247 scout, said should be an incredibly productive. This is when he signed. Should be an incredibly productive college player and probably a future pro. This is also a tight end room that needs players to step up. I think there's opportunity there. Phil Longo will throw it to whoever's healthy. We know this. So Jack Pugh is the first guy that jumps out to me is at the end of the year, we may look back and say, that dude's a stud.
I think if you look at the guys that we have on this team right now for our tight end room, him and Seagraves are the two guys that project to this offense. There are guys that you can fit in that room, but they're not necessarily a perfect fit for it. Who is the guy that got injured last year?
Clay Cundiff.
I think Cundiff can kind of work in it. I just don't think that he's quite as athletic as those two in terms of their ability to stretch the seam and do some things that you're looking for with this type of offense. Going forward, they're the prototype. Maybe even a little bit more athletic than what they are, but they are the type of guys that you're looking for that are just freak athletes, guys who can really run, maybe a little bit undersized in terms of overall weight from a traditional tight end frame. Not huge blockers, but they're guys that you can split out. They're guys that can cause mismatches in the passing game. And Pugh is a guy that I loved. He was one of the biggest gets that I can remember from a recruiting standpoint. From the tight end room, he's been my favorite guy since he signed on. Because I figured looking at his film back in the day, I mean, he was basically a wide receiver in high school. He split out wide, and they let him use them just like a wide receiver, running deep routes, you know, running seams. You had him all over the field, and he was a hugely productive player in high school. And that was for a guy who barely played football up to that point. He was a basketball player for the bulk of his high school career. So there's a chance for him to be really impressive this year. I don't think he may fully break out this season. I think we could see some signs of what he could become next year. But I think that he could do some things in a couple of games where we look at it and go, wow, we haven't seen that in a while in a Wisconsin uniform.
Yeah, he checks a lot of boxes, right? Physicality, frame, recruiting pedigree, hands, athleticism. The Phil Longo offense, that itself is a box that can be checked.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Jack Pugh, we both had that one. I wanted to get one out of the way. I'll go next, and we'll kick it to you. We'll just kind of take turns bouncing some players that we think could bust out. I think Curtis Neal could be kind of a breakout guy. We talked about him on and off. We've talked about, I mean, I would say, Justin, even the most optimistic Badger fan would admit the defensive line lacks a little bit of juice. Right. Even if you are really buying into some maybe Darian Varner stock, Rodus Johnson stock, I think it needs a little juice. I think Curtis Neal is the type of guy that can give it some pass rushing ability from an interior spot potentially. He was a guy we probably don't get if he wasn't hurt as a recruit. He's fully healthy now. He's a guy when I say breakout, it's not that I would expect 8 sacks from him, but becoming a regular player, maybe a spot starter in moments, and a guy that the team turns to in third down situations to maybe get some pass rush as the season goes on. I think Neal could be a guy that surprises people this year.
I think if we get into the pass rush sets with, say, if we stick with the 3-3-5 more traditionally, that there'll be sets where he could come in passing downs and be that guy. I think that Gio Paez is a guy who he can do some things, but pass rush is not one of them. That he's not a guy who's really going to push the pocket. He's more, I mean, I'm not going to sell him short on his athleticism, but he's not Keanu Benton. So he's a guy who, if you're looking to get a little bit more from the middle of the line, Neal is a guy who brings you a little bit more pop and athleticism, and he's smaller. So it's not shocking that he's a guy with a little more burst, but who's not necessarily going to be a fit for our traditional run defense sets.
Why don't we kick it over to you? And I agree with everything you said there. I think it's a burst, not a traditional run set type of guy. Who's another player that's on your radar that you think could bust out this year?
I think Peterson is a guy for me. He didn't fully bust out last year. I think he showed some things in terms of not quite getting home. There was some Zach Bond parallels there a little bit, where he was a guy who consistently got close and got some hurries, but wasn't actually getting home. And it will be interesting to see if through some maturity here, if he's a guy who can start to rack up some numbers. Now, I do not expect Zach Bond type ceiling for him, but I think he's a guy who it wouldn't shock me if he had 4.5, 5 sacks this year. I don't think his ceiling is much higher than that, but I could see him being a guy who is a threat in certain plays where he's a capable of getting home and getting us some sack numbers.
Peterson's weird to me, right? Like he seems to check and hey, buddy, my dog is whining for some reason. he checks a lot of boxes, but it seems like the output never really matches it. And a couple years in, he played a lot last year, and I don't know where he wins definitively with Zach Bond. I know you're not saying he's going to be a Zach Bond type guy, but Zach Bond won with obvious speed and explosion off the
edge. And I'll agree with that. There's a difference there.
I don't know where Peterson wins. He doesn't seem to beat people off the edge, but he doesn't seem to bull rush very well either. I don't think his pass rushing moves are defined yet. I just struggle with the package there.
Yeah, I could see. I see where you're coming from a little bit there. I think that you look at him and he's a guy who's a little bit more of a jack of all trades, master of none, and that he doesn't have an elite skill. However, there's something to be said for a guy getting a year older and just having the game click a little bit more for him, learning some tricks that give them opportunity that they haven't had in prior years. And we've seen that with prior guys. I mean, we've certainly seen guys be productive at Wisconsin that have had less athleticism than Peterson has and put up decent sack numbers. So I think that we could see him have a decent bump from where he was last year in terms of his numbers. Like, again, I don't think he's going to be a game changer by any means. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't be shocked if something like that happened. It would be great if it did, but it's just, we have not seen that from him yet to say that that's where his ceiling is to be that type of player.
Yeah. To your point, it'd be, if he does take a jump, that'd be incredible. Like mm-hmm. He would give you the outside edge rush that you need. That would open a lot of things up for those two inside linebackers we really like. So I hope it happens. I don't know with him. Let me give you another one. And I cheated on this one. I told you I cheated. It's either Cade Yacimelli or Ackard. First name, sorry. Jeez, Louise.
Jackson.
Thank you. I was trying to think Joseph Ackard, but it's either Ackard or Yacimelli. And one of those dudes is going to play quite a bit this year as the third running back, and potentially a lot more because running backs don't stay healthy. You're not going to ride either Malusi or Braylon Allen the entire year if one of those guys goes down. Both of those players have had injury problems. I think that gets overlooked a lot. Both Allen and Malusi have been hurt a lot in their careers. So you need a third running back.
I don't disagree with that at all.
Right now, it's going to be Ackard or Yacimelli. I like Yacimelli. Other people seem to like Ackard more. It's going to be one of those dudes. I just don't know which one.
I think if you're looking at them to potentially be more of a third down back, it's probably going to be Ackard. And the reason I say that is because he's proven that he can block. So
has he
proven that? more than Yacimelli has. So I think they're far more comfortable than with Ackard than they are with Yacimelli.
But I've heard that point.
But that's what it comes down to. Like if you're in a third really and six, you want a guy.
He hasn't really played anywhere to prove it though. I don't really know where that point is coming from, other than he played like more fullback in high school, I guess, and running back in high. I mean, he's more of a running back in high school. Yeah. I don't know. Like he was a fullback under Chris, but he didn't really play. I just don't really get that point that he's proven he can be an adept pass protector quite yet.
No, I just think that if you're a fullback, that's a big part of what you've done. And he's been in the program doing that longer than Yakimeli has. Yakimeli, effectively, this spring is when he, or I guess you would say the bowl practices is when he switched over to running back. So he's still getting his feet wet and that's kind of getting comfortable with it. I'm not saying that Yakimeli by the end of the season can be a guy that starts to pop a little bit, because I think physically he may have the best package of actual tools out of any of our running backs. He's just not a guy who has necessarily the instincts or has the experience at that position. And that's something that hopefully, you know, he maybe shows. Because it wouldn't shock me if next year you looked at him and he's a guy who actually is in your second running back or something like that, because they need somebody who can do it. And he's a guy who has the tools and maybe shows a little bit in camp. But I don't think I think we both agree he's far from a finished product there.
Mm-hmm. He's an elite athlete, but your point, he needs reps there for sure.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get into, I know Justin's got another edge defender he wants to talk about. I've got a safety I want to talk about, both players that could potentially make a big impact this year that haven't busted out. We're going to talk about that next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's episode is brought to you by our great friends over at Bird Dogs. Again, Bird Dogs has succeeded in their mission of creating comfortable, versatile, good-looking clothes that keep me from looking homeless. That's what it is for me. Like, I can go out and not sacrifice comfort, and people don't think I'm dressing like a homeless schlub. So Bird Dogs makes my legs look great on my morning breakfast grabs. I go to Tim's Bistro. It's my local breakfast joint, and I wear my Bird Dogs there. And it's just something I can throw on quickly. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to stress it. My wife likes it. She was so happy that I finally got some like adult shorts that aren't basketball shorts. So Bird Dogs has done that for me. They've made the wife happy, Mrs. H. They've made me happy. They've made the staff who are at Tim's Bistro happy, so they no longer have to look at my 10-year-old basketball shorts as I come in to get my breakfast burrito. That is what Bird Dogs has done. And if you act now, Bird Dogs has a great offer for first-time guests. You go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege, and they'll throw in a free Yeti-style tumbler with every order. That's birddogs.com/lockedoncollege, a free Yeti tumbler with every order. Bird Dogs, the best pants you're going to buy, the most comfortable you're going to buy. All right. I want to say thank you again for everybody tuning in. Let's get Justin back on the show. A couple more players I want to talk about, Justin. How many more do you got on your list?
Well, I get the feeling you and I are going to agree on one that you just brought up. And I have a pretty good idea who you're talking about from a safety standpoint.
You want me
to I have just one. And mine is bowlers. I think that 20 pounds of muscle that he's putting on this offseason is actually a big deal overall. I think that makes him far more stout and disruptive in terms of bull rushing. And I think that, listen, the biggest takeaway that I had from this staff when they started talking about strength and conditioning coming into this season was that they said, we're going to do what naturally is appropriate for a guy's body. So if he carries this weight and this is his optimum weight package for him, we're not going to worry about him being, you know, fitting in this little box of what type of player we want him to be. And a guy like Bowlers, I think we thought coming out of high school, that was probably appropriate for him being roughly where he is. He's right around 270. That's where I figured he was going to be. Like, I figured if they were going to tween him like this, that it was like, all right, well, now you can play him at either. Like, if you want to pass rush him as an outside linebacker, you have him at that. And I think that he's going to have the weight where he's actually, he can get into an offensive lineman and have the weight behind it to have that type of pop, where he doesn't have to be super quick, but the power will be there that maybe he didn't have at 250. And I think that's a big deal for him.
Yeah, I love Bowlers on this list. I like it a little more than Peterson, for not to rehash the Peterson stuff. I think Bowlers,
he adds a lot of versatility to the defense.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, when I talked to Phil Collins, or not Phil Collins,
Phil Collins,
Grady Collins, sorry.
Oh, either one of those conversations is a great conversation.
I do not have a direct line to Phil Collins. When I talked to Grady Collins and I mentioned TJ Bowlers, we talked because it was an obvious question to ask him right with the weight gain. And Grady Collins' eyes lit up like National Lampoon's Christmas tree. I mean, he was like, this dude is perfect, right? He was so excited to talk about the transformation that TJ Bowlers made. I think that's a great inclusion because this was a big time recruit too. Both Peterson and Bowlers were. He could definitely break out this year. I love that. It's a great addition. At safety, I'm going to go Austin Brown.
That was the guy I thought you were going to say. Yep.
So I think Austin Brown is in that three hole right now, probably behind Latu and Wohler. Obviously, Preston Zachman's kind of somewhere in that mix. I think Brown is the
three. Blaylock might be in there too, but he's gonna play a ton. I would say at worst he's fourth. Mm-hmm. And if we're gonna play three safety sets, he's gonna get a ton of reps, mm-hmm. especially with his athleticism. He's at worst, our third at most athletic safety. Might be second.
It's such an athletic safety group, man.
It is. This is the best from a physical, like if you look at the actual types of builds and athletic traits that we have at that position right now, I cannot remember it being this deep with guys who are in that 6'1", 200-pound range of guys who actually have the speed and power behind it that we seem to have there.
No, it's
if the instincts are there, our safety group could be insane this year.
Yeah, we haven't had a group like this. And Braden Moore, obviously, on campus as well. Yeah. He's another heralded freshman. But Austin Brown's ahead of him. He's a four-star commit out of Illinois, cycle go. Big physical player in the box. But the thing that's cool about him,
he's got some center field.
He's faster than, mm-hmm. I think, he's certainly faster than we realized when we first talked about him. I remember when we first talked about him, we thought maybe more of an in-the-box guy, but still a really good player. He's got some deep speed, too. I think especially if one of the safeties gets hurt, he could have a blow up, just a breakout year. All right, let me kick it back to you. Anybody else on your list? I have one more after this.
Oh, let me think. I think that with some interesting things that are going to happen, there's going to be some shakeup on the offensive line. I don't want to say a name for sure, but with us rotating through as many guys as we're going to with the new type of offense that we're going to play, it will not shock me to see one or two guys end up in the starting lineup that are not there right now. And I think that's because we're going to see a ton of film on a lot of these guys. I'm expecting like a 60-40 split between, and I think center will probably play the most because I just don't think we have a guy that is a consistent backup to be there. But both guards and both tackle positions, it would not shock me to see somebody leapfrog and take over a spot. And that's because we have the depth that we have there. If these guys start getting a ton of reps, in-game reps, somebody could make a massive jump. Like it wouldn't, would you be shocked if Ricci made a huge leap during the course of the season? You know, half the season through, he's been getting 40% of the reps and suddenly is looking like a, you know, top three round pick. It wouldn't shock me.
I wouldn't be stunned by it. I think the tackles are a little deeper, but my spot is actually offensive line. I'm going Joe Brunner.
Yeah. He was an example just because I think that, but yes, you're right. And Brunner is a good one too, because he's a guy that's got that. I mean, he's a massive human being and he's got all the talent in the world.
Well, he's a guy who not many freshmen can come in year one, not redshirt and play or earn some meaningful reps. He did that. He's got the bodies. He was a top 150 recruit. It wouldn't stun me if by the end of the year, he's one of your primary guards. It really wouldn't stun me at all.
Yeah, if he's got the skill set to thrive there, it wouldn't shock me. I think he's got the mentality for anywhere on the offensive line and athleticism. It's always with those interior guys, it's can you bend and can you get low enough to hold position at that spot? Because you have such a huge frame. Typically, interior guys are a little bit smaller on the defensive side. Can you deal with a guy who's 6'2", who may get under your pads?
I think he can.
If he can do it, then yeah, he's got the tools.
Yeah,
and he's massive and strong, so...
I like him a lot. I think he's going to be a star for this team, and I think it could happen this year. All right, we're going to take a very quick break for our friends of the show. Come back with a comment. I'm interested to get Justin's take on this because I actually think it's a really good comment from John Berger about maybe we're putting the cart before the horses on a certain position. I want to bring it up. Let's talk about that next on Locked On Badgers. But first, a quick break for our friends of the show. And once again, a massive thank you to everybody tuning in. I don't always, in this last couple week and a half has been crazy. I've been traveling a lot, doing other work. So I apologize if I missed some social media messages or I didn't respond to every comment I need to, but just know that I really appreciate all of y'all so much. All right, let's get Justin back on. I want to bring this comment up, Justin. And I can't put the whole thing up because I have a character limit on YouTube. It was a really, I encourage people to go out and read the comment John Berger made about our receivers on one of the recent YouTube shows, because it's a really well thought out, long conversation, but essentially the gist of it is we are over potentially and maybe probably overhyping this receiver group. And John goes on to say, you know, the returning receivers, listen, they are who they are. None of them are necessarily game breakers. CJ Williams was a four-star out of high school. That's different than a transfer. He didn't really make an impact at USC. Will Pauling hasn't really made an impact yet. Bryson Green is currently injured. Tretch Kekahoon is a freshman that hasn't even practiced. He goes on and on. And listen, the points aren't invalid, right? One of the things he says is CJ Williams is not a four-star receiver. He was a four-star out of high school. That's not the same as transferring after not making it at another program. Didn't look great at the spring game. Again, I encourage everyone to go read the full message. I'm just taking snippets out of here, but it is certainly possible. I want to acknowledge the fact that John is correct. It is certainly possible that we are overhyping this group and some of these players don't pan out. It is certainly possible that CJ Williams doesn't make a huge jump, that Bryson Green doesn't get healthy, that Tretch doesn't pan out, that the returning receivers aren't that special. The one thing that I would say is I think those returning receivers are going to look a lot better in Phil Longo's offense.
Oh, I think that's without a doubt. Now, I'll address the CJ Williams one right off the bat. Listen, USC's wide receiver room is not Wisconsin's wide receiver. Him not playing as a true freshman on a team that brought in as a transfer the Biletnikoff winner, I mean, that room is deep. He still had four catches, and he still suited up and played every week, which is something that a lot of Wisconsin receivers don't even do. Now, would you like to have seen him do a little bit more? Sure. Did he have an awesome spring game? No, he didn't have an awesome spring game. There was a catch that one of the interceptions was his fault, quite frankly. It was a ball that went through his hands that got picked off by Hallman. But he has the physical tools. I've seen enough of him, and I kept an eye on him, quite honestly, at the spring game. He was creating separation. Was he the guy that was being looked at all the time? No, he wasn't. But my guess is the play was not called for him a lot of the time. Now, I didn't expect him, like any of the guys, to show out in the spring game. If it would have happened, it would have said more to me about what our defense is than anything else, because these guys have seen the offense for 15 straight practices and know our playbook better than we do. So even if they're not calling and don't know the play explicitly, they probably know the formation. They probably know roughly what's going to happen in that based off of the way things are set up. And they're going to be able to react to that. I think Hallman is a prime example of that, as a guy that, listen, if you expect him to go out there and have six interceptions this year, that's not going to happen. Like, if he gets three, it'll be a good season, I think, in our eyes, because what's the most that a cornerback for Wisconsin has had in the last 10 years? Maybe four?
In the last 10 years, Sojourn Shelton had 5 1 year.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that was like 2014.
That was like as a freshman he did that. Yeah.
And two of them were in one game, I think. Wasn't it two in the Northwestern game?
Go back a minute. I want to focus on this point, though, because I think a lot of hype into this position. I would say that.
I think that what we had coming into this year, it was fairly pedestrian, the guys that were there. And that's why when we started talking about it, I said it would not shock me if all these guys ended up leapfrogging what we have in that room. Because there's nobody I look at and say, this guy's an NFL dude. Now, are the guys that we have that are being put in this going forward, Bryson Green, CJ Williams, Pauling, I need to see more from him because we really haven't. I mean, he was barely used in the spring game. We're just going basically off of camp and spring practice reports on him. I feel confident in Bryson Green that he is a legit. He's probably not gonna be a first round type guy, but he could be a guy who's a top 5 round pick in the NFL draft if he achieves his ceiling. His skill set is very Quintez Cephas in terms of what he provides on the field. And that's a big guy who's physical, who's agile, and can make plays after the catch.
Let's talk Green really quick. Green is actually somebody who's proven it at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a lot of these players, to John's point, I would agree with, we have to project a little bit. Like even CJ Williams, if you agree, has the physical tools. I think we all agree. He still needs to prove it. He has proven it.
No,
Bryson
he hasn't.
Green has done it at Oklahoma State.
Listen, I'm not signing any of these guys up to say, and any of the information that I've given on our wide receiver room is that if these guys who are who we think they are, then yeah, they could be the second, third best room in the Big Ten, which I think in this, and that a lot of that has to do with the offense. If the offense is as explosive as we think it is, these guys are going to have opportunities to make plays. Whereas there are possibly more talented wide receiver rooms where guys aren't going to be given those opportunities to make plays. And because of that, you never see them fully realize their potential. Now, that doesn't mean that this is going to happen. And it doesn't mean that I think that every one of these guys is going to blow up. Tretch is one of those guys I actually looked at, and I've looked at a lot of his highlights and films. I believe in his skill set. I believe that he will get here and he will make plays day one in camp. Do I think that he will know the offense well enough to get out on the field and do it? Not necessarily. Do I think that he's going to potentially push his way into a package or say they want him in goal line sets or whatever, where they're going to have him running, you know, in cut and then out and just watch a cornerback stumble over his feet? Like, there's little things I could see them dropping him into and saying, use your ability. You're going to get an opportunity to set this guy up. You're quicker than whoever's going to be across from you and just make plays. And I think that we have more of those guys than we've ever had in recent history.
We have more physical skill set guys. Yes. So you don't think we are overhyping the receiver position?
I think that it depends on what you're looking at in terms of the actual thing. If you think that it's a sure thing, then yeah, it's not a sure thing. There's nobody that I look at and say, this guy's a guaranteed all Big Ten wide receiver. There are guys who have that potential. I think the top three all have that type of ceiling if things go off.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not a guarantee. Like, if I had to set odds on any of them, I would probably say all three are under 50% for something like that, which...
Well, I think having the depth is going to hurt them in any type of postseason awards because the receptions are going to get spread out. If you have one, that always hurts people. I would say what we're not overhyping is the depth of the unit. I think the depth is very legitimate for Wisconsin standards.
There's more physical tools in that room than we've had ever.
Yeah. Maybe the upside, though, or maybe some of the upside, I think maybe we have overhyped a tiny bit. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
Well, and what I will say on this is, we have no clue if it's going to arrive this year or next year with a lot of these guys. It may take a year for them to get comfortable in what they're trying to do offensively here.
That's why we're going to lose to Washington State, Justin. This is what I'm telling people.
I'm telling you that defense is going to take a step back. And that's the reason why. Theirs. They lost more than we did. And that is not a school that has consistently proven that they can reload on defense and be good. Washington State for a lot of the time there, you remember the Pirate being there. And a lot of freaking games where it was just shootouts.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember.
So
I had a lot of those dudes on my college football fantasy team. I greatly remember. Yeah.
Good defense is not something that Washington State is known for consistency. Now, they could be solid again this next year. But a lot of the guys that were problems for us in that game last year are gone, which is why I think Wisconsin is going to do better this year. Because if the offense is any upward trajectory over what we were, and their defense takes any step back, I think Wisconsin, the scoring floodgates open in that game. Because
maybe. I mean, don't forget, it will be a road game.
The quarterback play in that game was atrocious for us. There was a lot of missed passes that were open.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's for another show. We've talked to Washington State. Listen, I don't want to overhype it. Like, I in my heart of hearts, I still probably believe we go out there and beat them. I just am trying to be realistic with new team and growth and learning.
I'm not saying we're going to drop 40 on them. I'm saying that there's potential that we can get up.
The floodgates will open.
We scored what, 7 or 14 on them last year?
It was 21-14. Right?
So if we get to 28, that would be the floodgates open. That'd be double our output.
It is a low bar for Wisconsin fans. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. I do appreciate everybody tuning in. A bunch more comments. I didn't get to them all today. I'm going to get a good comment show wrap up. Justin, thank you as always. On Wisconsin, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds good, man.